Dumas is out, and Trey Living's in. Who the hell saw that coming?
No one.
And I think here's the kicker. Not only was Dubas fired and then Tree Living hired, but then Sheldon Keefe was extended.
That was honestly the more shocking thing.
Yeah. Who had that like on the betting card here of Dubas getting fired and Keefe getting extended? I'm pretty sure everybody had it the other way around.
As soon as Dubas got fired, I was like, well, see you later, Keefe. Like I was already like, ready
yeah,
to ask.
I thought for sure. I was like, well, he's an easy fire now because that was Dubas's boy. And it's like, now he gets extended. And it's like, okay. I mean, fair enough. He's been a pretty good coach.
But also a lot of people brought up when Trey Living took over Calgary, the guy, the coach that was there, he actually let play out another two seasons, I think. It's like Bob Hartley, I think the coach was at the time. And, like, they went out to have pretty solid seasons afterwards. So, like, historically, he actually did keep. And just, I guess he just not like other GMs who want to put their stamp on a team then. But,
yeah,
we'll see if he does that by trade instead.
Well, that said, he's already kind of put his stamp on this team. And in a good way, I think. You know, it was
some.
Free agency was a tough day because it was basically just a day of Maple Leaf players signing elsewhere.
Yeah, a lot of them.
Oh, so many.
But there were dollar amounts that we wanted nothing to do with.
Yeah, like that O'Reilly deal is going to age poorly. Nobody else is paying Luke Shen that kind of money or Noel Achari, even though I would have loved to keep Cookie.
Yeah, well, Noel Achari, I mean, Alex Kerfoot got literally the identical contract.
Yeah, to go to the desert.
Justin Hall got a fucking raise. And like a considerable one. He's like making like 3.1 now. It's just
dude,
like,
he's in their top four. He's a full-timer in their top four.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I feel like we dodged a few bullets in some of those.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Letting Shalgren walk, too, is just kind of whatever. He's on waivers again now, actually, if you noticed. I don't know if you saw that.
But I mean, he was always like just all right. Yeah. Like, he never blew me away, but he was never, like, terrible. We never ragged on the guy like Michael Hutchinson.
No, that's true, because he was not Michael Hutchinson.
No, exactly. He could actually play the position.
He actually had a couple of games where he let in less than 3 goals.
Yeah. So, let's talk about Tree Living and what he did in this offseason. And, you know, we're already on the topic of free agency, so let's talk about the 3 notable signings that he made on free agency and the day following.
So we'll start with the forwards, and then we'll get into the defense after.
Okay, so the first one was Ryan Reeves.
Don't like it, honestly.
Don't like the contract. Yeah, don't like the contract.
Honestly, I loved the interviews with him so far. He seems like a great dude. I can see why you bring him in from a character perspective, but too long and too much for a guy that's over 35.
Yeah, I like the guy. I like the player. I don't like the contract, but I don't think you get him without the contract. And it's like, well, you need somebody to crack some heads out there. And that was very evident last year in the playoffs when Nyes went down and everybody was just like, yeah, whatever.
But the thing is, the other two guys on forward will do that. Or at least be a little ratty about it.
Oh, they'll be super ratty.
Which is why I love both of those additions in contrast to the Reeves addition.
I'm a little disappointed that they're with these contracts as well, to be honest. Because they're only 1 year, right? So
you could blame William Nylander for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's way too much uncertainty for them to sign any longer. Apparently Tyler Bertuzzi was interested in a longer term deal, but he wasn't getting the dollar amount he wanted because obviously he didn't get a lot of points last year. So he's just going to ride shotgun with Matty and Marner and get paid next summer. But he is interested in a long-term deal with the Leafs.
But I'd sign him long-term.
And apparently Domi is as well. So the thing is, like, I feel like both of those was more so because the cap didn't go up that much. And if you saw the projections today, it's supposed to go up by another like $5 million. That basically pays for both of those guys.
Or at least one of them. I mean, depending on how they do this year. Like, yeah, I feel like Bertuzzi's going to go off.
But even you can keep them both at the same cap hit, and then you add, you know, 2.5 to each. I have like Bertuzzi, like you signed him for what? 5.5? Like you really think he's going to make more than 7.5? I don't.
Yeah, but then you got to find the money for Nylander somehow.
Yeah, well, Nylander's digging his own grave at this point, unfortunately. Yeah.
So let's talk about Tyler Bertuzzi, the like one of the biggest rats in the league.
He has the weirdest
style,
weirdest gear I've ever seen.
Yeah, so no tape on the knob of the stick is fucking bizarre.
It gives me anxiety.
He's a psychopath.
Like, I would lose my stick constantly. It would fall out of my hands constantly.
Yeah, yeah, it's so slippery. Like,
no, I don't even know.
He must use a grip stick. Like, he must.
Has to.
Yeah.
But then the tongues on his skates.
Like, they're like extra long just so he could flip them over.
I feel like they would just like get in the way and they would feel like you're like carrying an anchor on your feet. Like, I don't even know. I don't know. I don't know how he does it. Honestly,
I don't know. He's got the weird style, man. He's also got the hockey smile, dirty mustache, the flow. Like, he's got his own like dumpster fire look going and I'm here for it.
But it's also kind of funny, like, you literally put him and Domi there together, and they're just like the hockey smile line.
Oh, yeah.
Because Domi's got it's the same thing.
Oh, yeah. But it's good. I mean, apparently that's what the team needed was a bit of snot, and I don't disagree with that. These are the types of players who you hate to play against, but you love having on your team. Yeah. Like, look at what Bertuzzi was doing for Boston last year in the playoffs, because... Yes, they had a disappointing playoff run, but the only reason that went seven games was because Bertuzzi was playing out of his mind.
It's true.
And the fuck arounds this guy was getting away with. Like, he stole another player's bench and stole another player's stick and took it to his own bench with him. Like,
I don't know. I think one of the biggest differences with the moves this year is that the people that were brought in not only fit a different dynamic that the Leafs didn't really have of being that kind of ratty player that we haven't really had since like Kadri left and we have two of them, but the additional part is that I trust those two guys more to produce over the guys that they're replacing.
Oh yeah, right? Especially
if you think of it really quickly, right?
Who are you comparing them to, right?
Yeah, so Bertuzzi's a Bunting replace, huge upgrade. Like, if Bunting could put up 20 with those two, like, Bertuzzi putting up 30 in his sleep. And then if we're comparing Max Domi to Alex Kerfoot,
big upgrade.
Big old fucking upgrade. And I don't know about you, but I'll trust Max Domi to score some goals, although like Kerfoot, he's just a freaking cold streak all the time.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's what everybody forgets is, like, Max Domi has huge offensive upside. Like, this is not Ty Domi. It may be Ty Domi's son, and he may have some of the grittiness of that.
And he might have Ty Domi's defensive play.
Yeah, but he can.
But if you put the puck in, then.
Yeah, but and he's really fast, which Ty Domi never was. And I mean,
you know, he won the Leafs speed skating competition one year, right?
Whatever. He'd get blown up by his son.
Well, that's true.
So I remember when I first really got to see Max Domi play was in Montreal in the World Juniors.
Oh, yeah.
Before he was actually drafted by Montreal, but it was Canada, US. And he scored a huge goal for Canada. And it was wild. But it was like, he was one of the best players in that tournament.
True. Absolutely.
And I think he's had a tough time in the NHL because he's bounced around a lot trying to find a place where he fits. And I think ultimately he's been bouncing around trying to find his way here. He's been... Everybody knows this is where he was meant to be. I mean, he was drafted by Montreal, which, first of all, as a kid who grew up in Toronto, is like hell, absolute hell.
And then they traded him for nothing.
Yeah.
He got traded for Gutschuk, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Oh, and there's a whole other story.
Right? So, like,
oh, man.
Oh, wait, no. No, they took Gutschuk with their draft pick. It was someone else.
Well, he's also played in like Columbus, Arizona, Dallas.
Yeah, he's been around. He's in like his seventh or eighth team. Like, it's actually insane.
Yeah. And well, it's tough to know why, but I guess we'll find out. Maybe he was just trying to find his way here, and now he's home and he's ready to roll.
I think in a lot of other teams, they were expecting him to fill a role that he was not capable of.
Yeah.
Like, I think in a lot of situations, like if you look back to his Montreal days as an example, he was looked there to be, you're the number one center. Yeah. He's not a number one center.
No.
He's like maybe a third line center, you know, but or like a solid top six wing, but like definitely not a first line center. And so he was typecast as that first line center in Montreal. And I feel like there's a few circumstances where he was that. And then if you look at Dallas in the playoffs, where he was properly slotted in behind Hintz and some of the really good players in that
That's team. Very effective.
Exactly, right? And so if you look into his position now, he can fill a very similar position with the Leafs because we don't need him to be the star. We need to be him to be a complementary piece. We don't need you to score every game. We just need you to score consistently and not go 30 games without scoring like Alex Kerfoot.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. Because it, like right now, when I think about the playoffs, right? Because if you think about this year, Maddie and Marner, at least, except for the second round, but they put up points. But like the big four had to carry us through the first round, right?
Yeah.
That is less the case this year because I trust the supporting cast to actually support, right? You have a year older Maddie Nyes who looks unreal. Then you get those two free agents in. I think there's a much more balanced approach from an offensive perspective.
Yeah. So we saw Keefe say that Nylander is going to be playing center to start the season.
He was already moved back to the wing today.
And I mean, how long is this going to last? Because the one knock everybody has on Nylander is that his defensive game isn't good and your defensive responsibilities increase when you play center. So it's like, why? Put him on a wing of John Tavares with Matthew Nyes on the other side, and that line is going to ruin people's nights. It's going to be a goalie's worst nightmare.
I think the problem is they don't trust Max Domi to play third line center. Because they want their third line center to be a matchup type of line where you can put them out against the other team's top players. And you can't really do that with Domi being your defensive centerpiece because he's not good in the defensive end.
No, that's why you keep Cam as your third line
3C.
Yeah, and I don't like him. I don't like him on a fourth line. Like I just don't. I think he's the perfect third line center. Why would you move him?
Doesn't have any offensive upside at all.
To be honest, I mean Sam Lafferty's a centerman. Like I'd put him at fourth line center, and then you have Domi with Cam.
Lafferty, honestly,
he's whatever.
He's too much money for a guy who's just sort of like. Whatever. But somehow Reeves is getting paid more than him, which is also...
It's wild.
Like, $1 million would have been too much for him, to be honest. But to each their own. Dylan Granbrell is an interesting piece that could fill that fourth line center slot as well. So we'll see how that works out. I've heard a lot of rumors around Cali Yarncroc. Apparently he, like, hurt his neck in the training camp, but then there was people saying that he was going to... He was on the trade block, and
there's one more acquisition we haven't mentioned at all, and I think he's kind of flying under the radar because he's been hurt for training camp, and that is John Klingberg.
That's, I don't love it because it's not really what we needed, and it's gonna take away from Riley's position in the team a little bit, but it's a gamble. And a gamble that could have excessively high upside. Because if we get Dallas Stars Klingberg, we might be for a hell of a year. But if we get Anaheim Klingberg, we need to get him off this team immediately.
Well, here's the thing. Maybe he's just been taken on as trade bait. Like maybe he just plays up until like the end of the year and then see if you can offload him to get a more defensive defenseman.
He's on a 1-year contract.
So?
You're not going to trade him after the year. You're either going to trade him at the deadline or you're not going to.
I mean, end of the calendar year.
Oh, true. I don't know if that's enough time to drive it home. Like, you'd have to wait till the trade deadline to be able to move him. And we'd also need a right shot D to fill that slot. And, like, I don't know, Connor Timmins looked decent, but apparently he's fucking injured forever now.
Well, Gio is officially 40, so it's like,
the defense is like the one spot on this team that I'm not super high on.
I do think Timothy Liljegren can take a big step this year, and he seems to be getting a little grittier, which I like to see.
Well, I think we also forget how young he is.
Yeah.
Like, he's only 24. Think about that for a second. I know he's been in the system for a while, but like, he's just entering his prime of his career. Right. So like, I feel like you're right. We should expect a jump from Liljegren. Like, he should take a top four slot this year and like solidify himself up there. That would be amazing, because then you could take a lot of the pressure off of Gio. But I also still don't like Gio in our top six. He's just too slow, too old.
They're going to have to load manage the shit out of him this year.
But what's the point? Like, would you be putting him out there in the playoffs? Unless you have to?
Maybe to kill a penalty.
So, you're going to go 7D, man? You're only going to put him on in the penalty kill? Okay, Mark. All right, we're gonna load manage, and all you're gonna do is PK and block shots.
That's it.
You're gonna sit on the bench the rest of the time, but every penalty kill, you're playing full 2 minutes.
But he is a responsible guy, so I'd put him in like a really important defensive zone face-off. You know, he'll be in the right spot. He can calm the puck down and get it out.
I'm just really worried about some of the teams in this division have gotten a lot better and a lot faster.
Yeah.
And he just cannot keep up.
Yeah. But you know who's gotten worse? Boston.
Significantly worse. And the best part is they lost their two top line centers, but they had both signed like hyper bargain contracts. So the funny thing is, like, if you took any other team in the league and they were to lose their top two centers, they'd have a boatload of cap space to work with.
No. Well, and I mean, Ullmark's going to come back down to earth.
Yeah, but Swayman's still really good. So, like, they're still insulated in that position.
Yeah, but the only reason Boston had the series they had last year was because Ullmark was playing out of this world.
Like, you mean the season, not the series?
Yeah. Sorry.
Nick's the series could have gone better.
Not the best.
Not the best.
Yeah, I almost wish they did win that, because I would have much preferred to face them.
Well, I also, just because we know the Leafs like to play down or up to their opponents, the Leafs would have played better against the Bruins because it would have played up.
Well, and it was another chance at redemption, right? Like, there were no demons to exercise against Florida.
There is now, though. That freaking Radko Gudas. Actually, well, I guess Gudas is even on their team anymore.
No, Florida also lost. Like, Florida and Tampa lost all their agitators. Like, Tampa lost Patty Maroon and Corey Perry, and Florida lost Gudas, and
fuck, they lost stuff, though.
Yeah, and they still have Sam Bennett.
Yeah, they're both fuckers. Honestly, I'm still rattled that Sam Bennett didn't get suspended for his playoff guys, but that's too easy to run.
Well, that's where you need Ryan Reeves to just fill him in.
Honestly, I do like that we're going to have someone just going to like throw the body at all times. So I'm kind of here for it. And if he injures at least three people this year, I think it's worth it.
There you go. It depends what he brings, you know, like, and he has a great reputation around the league.
Yeah. He's like the scariest guy in the league.
Yeah. Yeah. Literally. But also like the most friendly guy in the league, which is the weirdest thing.
Did you hear his comments about like me having the music on during practice?
Yeah. Yeah. He's chirping Keith for playing EDM during practice. He's like, man, if you're playing some EDM, you need to get some fog machines and some lights up in here.
It's like, oh, hip hop only. Oh, man. But then like signing Martin Jones was, a low risk move. We probably lose him on waivers, unfortunately.
Well, it gives a little bit of, it gives a little bit of a buffer for Joe Wall, right?
And but the thing is, I don't think it does. Because I can pretty much guarantee that Martin Jones will not be a Leaf this time next week.
Does Joe Wall have to go through waivers, or is he on a two-way?
Yes, he does have to go through waivers. Hence why Martin Jones is gone. Like, there's no chance any team in the league is going to let the Leafs put a goalie to the minors that can go through waivers.
Because that's just how things go. Because
we're the fucking Maple Leafs. Like,
We always get the goalies taken.
Honestly, I just want to like I want to see a list of all the claimed the waiver claims over the last like 5 seasons and see how many times the Leafs have had players taken and how much higher that number is than every other team in the league. Like, I wish someone could find me that statistic because I know for a fact it's an exponentially bigger number. Like, it seems like every like, even slightly NHL-ready player that goes on waivers, gone. Like, even one of the guys we lost on waivers literally went back on waivers today, and that was Adam Brooks. Or last, he went like earlier this week. But remember, we lost Adam Brooks to waivers, and he's back on waivers. So it's like, people are just taking the Leafs players just for shits.
just to fuck with us.
Just to fuck with us. It was like, you bastards.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, we're probably going to lose Martin Jones. So I'm happy.
Prepared for that?
I don't know if I'm prepared for that, but I know I'm happy that we got to see more of what like Keith Pucciarelli has. And we got to see Dennis Hildeby play. Dennis Hildeby looks real fucking good. Honestly.
Yeah, Pucciarelli is underwhelming.
A little underwhelming, yeah. But they're both big dudes. Like, they're both 6'6". Hildeby is still super young, being only 22. And apparently the Russian guy we have playing in the KHL right now.
Peksa?
Yeah, apparently he's just been going off. Oh, no, not Peksa. It's Akhtemov. Archer Akhtemov. Apparently he just got called up to the KHL from the minor league of the KHL because he was just, like, putting up stupid numbers in their league. Like, actually, I want to see if I can find the numbers because apparently.
Yeah, you think we see any of Matt Murray? Or is he just alone on Robben Island?
He's chilling on Robben Island forever. So listen to these numbers. So last season in the VHL, which is like the KHL Junior League, played 39 games, had a 1.74 .943. And in the KHL this year, 5 games so far, 2.27 and .922. Those are really solid numbers. And then his playoff numbers last year were six games played, 1.53 and a .952. So even better.
Yeah.
So like we got some good goalie prospects in the system that are coming as well. And so like I'm like, while I'm going to be mad when we eventually lose Martin Jones, because I think he would be nice security for when an injury inevitably happens this year, we have depth in the organization that's coming. So it is what it is. And it's about time we started hitting on some of these fucking goalie prospects, because holy shit.
It's been a tough go with goalies.
Like, not since we traded away fucking Tuukka Rask have we actually had, like, a decent goalie prospect turn out.
Yeah.
Like literally the only other person is, like, James fucking Reimer. Other than that, there's no one. Now Joe Wall might change that. He should change that. He's going to have every opportunity to change that this year. But we'll see. He's got tons of potential. I thought he was really, really good last year. In the playoffs last year, none of those goals or games were on him. Like, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
Because Samson prices himself out. If Joe Walsh can take over.
Be ideal.
Yeah.
So shall we talk some fantasy?
Ooh, I'm down.
Since we just finished our draft on Monday.
I showed a couple people at work and they said I fleeced the league.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they said I fleeced the entire league.
Yeah, because you took like 8 of the players that I wanted because you were the pick before me, you fuck.
Can't believe Dad is like first pick draft ever gets second overall.
I know, right?
I was low-key worried he was going to take Matthews. I was looking at there and I was like, oh, no one's going to take, no one's, I was like, I didn't realize it at first. I was like, oh, I got third. Okay, Matthews is definitely coming to me. I was like, no one's going to take Dreisaitl. And then I realized it was Dad. And I was like, oh, fuck.
he might take
Matthews. But, I mean, Dreisaitl is a nice complimentary piece of
news. Yeah, I mean, I think he made the logical decision taking Dreisaitl for fantasy, for sure.
Yeah, like, I mean, he's a machine.
Yeah. So, you were third overall. I was fourth overall. So, and you stole a Matthews from me. I thought I was going to get him at 4.
But no chance.
No chance. Not with you two fucks.
There was no fucking chance he was making it past. Honestly, I'm a really big fan of my team. Like, I took I took some big risks on goalies.
Yeah, that's the other one. I wanted Devon Levi, and you fucking took him from me. I had him ready to go.
That's a big risk, though, because he's obviously a rookie. You don't know what you're getting in Buffalo. I mean, could pay off big dividends, but it could be real bad.
Like, I have one goalie I'm, like, very comfortable with, and then two that I'm like, we'll see.
Well, that's why I took Sammy. Because, like, Sammy is like, I know you play for the Leafs. You're going to get me my wins. It'll be fine.
Well, I got Georgiev, Colorado, baby.
Yeah. So he's going to get... Same type of situation. Like, I feel like Georgiev and Sammy will have very similar seasons.
Yeah. And funny enough, you got Matthews first overall, and I got McKinnon first overall. So we kind of ended up Toronto and Colorado's
I still lethal cannot weapon. Believe I was able to get Logan Thompson with my second last pick, though.
Dude, I got John Klingberg with my last pick.
Well, that's, I mean, nobody wants John Klingberg.
Yeah, but if he produces, man, he's a fantasy gem. Oh,
for sure. But dude, I got Chris Letang in like the fucking 12th round.
I actually just picked up Troy Terry as a free agent, which is wild.
That's because Anaheim fucking sucks.
Yeah, they do.
They're real bad. And they're not going to be any better this year. Because they have no defense.
No.
At all.
I like my team. You know, there's a couple things I might change, I might tinker with, but that's the beauty of fantasy.
I took a lot of, like, especially on goalie and defense, I took a lot on potential. Like, took Owen Power entirely on expecting a breakout season. You know, took Devon Levi again, expecting a breakout season. Even, like, Clayton Keller, expecting, you know, him to continue to get better and grow. Even to break it, expecting a bounce back season after having a horrible season in Ottawa, first year to new team. Detroit, you know, I don't know, he'll be dependent on a little bit more. Detroit also has a bunch of guys you're expecting to have bounce back seasons, and Raymond and freaking
Larkin
and whoever else is on that terrible team.
It's Moritz Seider, man. That kid is
the German.
That's an animal.
But yeah, so like, that's a risk, but that's one that could pay off because we know DeBrincat can score 40 goals.
I hope he does. You know why? Because I have Ville Husso, my boy, my
favorite. Okay, man, I was like, that's a bold pick. That's a bold pick because I don't trust Detroit at all.
But I trust Husso. I do trust Husso.
All right, but I don't know. Detroit is such a wild card. And especially since like everyone else in the division that was like, moving upwards, continued to move upwards, and Detroit has just felt like it stagnated. And so, like, while Boston came down to them, I don't think it came all the way down to them. So, like, actually, they're probably moving down in the standings versus, because I think Ottawa surpasses them. I think Buffalo surpasses them if they weren't already, right? And so then, really, it's just Montreal below them.
Well, I mean, Ottawa is going to live or die on Corpusalo.
I mean, Corpusalo's looked real good in this preseason so far.
Yeah, that won't last.
I mean, their defense, honestly, Ottawa's a much improved team. Like, their defense looks a lot better, especially when Sanderson's a year older. You get Chychrun in there as well. You still have Chabot there as well. Like, that team is a significantly improved team. If they can get even league average goaltending, they're going to be significantly better. So, yeah. Like, I would not write off the Senators, as much as I hate to say it. Like, the Battle of Ontario might actually be bad. Whatever, we'll just shit on them with the first round again and move on.
Well, Tampa's going to take a step back and Boston's going to take a step back and maybe they don't even make playoffs. Who knows?
Tampa's interesting. Like, using Vasilevsky the first 2 months of the season
hurts.
Could create a big hole for them to have to climb out of.
And it's tough in this division to do that.
That's true. But, like, I would not be surprised to see, like, Tampa and Boston fighting it out for a wild card spot.
Yeah, I could see that. Man, I'm kind of obsessed with my defense in fantasy. I think
I love my defense.
Elite. Like, I've got Adam Fox, Dougie Hamilton,
top tier.
Brent Burns, Shea Theodore, and John Klingberg as an extra.
I didn't take an extra, but it's like Heiskanen, who I think is going to take another step this year. I would argue that he'll be in the Norris conversation this year. That's what I think. I think he'll be a nominee. Vince Dunn, who was an absolute clutch pickup last year for me on Seattle. I think he's going to continue to be really solid. Gets tons of hits and shots. Owen Power, due for a breakout season. And then Chris Letang, just consistent points. And like, hits and blocks way more than I ever fucking realized. Like last season, did you know that Chris Letang had 162 hits and 108 blocks?
That's wild.
Right? Like, would you wouldn't even think Chris Letang is the guy throwing bodies, but like he's got literally like the fifth most hits on my team. Kind of wild.
I got Ovi so late in the draft.
There's so many people that are thinking he's about to take a step back. He's 38. But he's getting up there.
Yeah.
Got a lot of miles on him.
All I need Ovi to do is shoot the puck and hit everything that moves.
See, the thing is, I actually think the hits are going to start to dwindle. He's got to keep up with people to hit them.
Dude, he had 188 hits last year. The guy's a machine.
It's true. Russian machine never breaks.
A step back is what, 150? I'll take it.
Well, I think a step back would be instead of like a 40-goal season, he'll score like 30 goals. I think instead of 150 hits, he's has 110. Something like that. I don't know. I honestly, I would not be surprised if he scores 50 again because that's just what he does. You know what I mean? But I also like he's 38 years old and it's about that age at which people start to at least take a little bit of a step back. But then again, you look at someone like Joe Pavelski, who's just fucking ageless wonder, keeps scoring every year. And so I don't know. But I would also say like Joe Pavelski never played as like hard and rough of a game as Ovechkin. So he like from a body mileage perspective, that might help him from a longevity standpoint. That's my biggest worry with Ovi.
Yeah.
It's like he throws the body a lot, to your point. And the potential for injury as that age gets up there gets a lot higher.
Yeah. Well, I think he'll be fine. And I also took Evgeny Malkin because I took him very late. And I was like, Malkin still got it. I mean, last year he still put up 83 points. Like, he's no pushover.
And he played the whole season, too, right? He played a full 82 games.
Well, that's it. He seems to be healthy, right? So that's why I'm happy to have him. And now you have Erik Karlsson feeding him the puck as well. So that helps. I took Tyler Bertuzzi because...
You fucking stole him from me. I really wanted Tyler Bertuzzi.
I took him probably earlier than I should have. But I knew that you were going to take it.
I mean, that could pay off really well. Like, he's definitely going to score. Like, I would, my ballpark projections for him would be like 30 goals, 70 points.
Hell of an upgrade from 30 points last year.
But he was also injured for a lot of last year. He only played like 59 games last year or something like that. And obviously was playing on a fucking terrible team before he got traded to Boston.
I've got Bertuzzi, Matthew Nyes, I also think is going to be a stud.
Yeah, I could see Matty Nyes scoring 20 goals this year.
The one I kind of took a swing of the fences on, another Buffalo player, is Victor Olofsson.
He scores power play points, but he doesn't really do a lot of anything else.
Well, that's it. I think with Buffalo improving, he'll be given a bigger role.
Eh.
But we'll see. He might be the first one who gets chopped. He was
Martin Nekast was my pick like that, whereas like he was really good for me last year and I'm wondering whether he can do it again because it was kind of a breakout season for him. And so whether he can he put up another 70 point season, I don't know, we'll see. But it was like,
yeah,
he was good. He was a decent pick available, and now I got two Carolina boys, and hopefully Aho is passing Nekast a whole bunch.
Yeah, I also picked up Sam Bennett just for the hits.
Yeah, fair enough. He's a hitting machine.
And Jonathan Marchessault, Conn Smythe winner. I got him so late. He was like my second last pick.
There's still so much in like the free agency pool. It's like I saw someone went and picked up Logan Cooley like right after the draft.
Yeah, well, a bunch of people who drafted people who are injured moved them into IR and then went and picked somebody up, right?
I also saw Matty Beniers, I think, just went undrafted.
No, Morgan drafted him.
Did he? Okay, well, he went like super late, like way late.
Yeah, definitely late. A lot of players that were available late that I was surprised with. Like, I got Mason McTavish. That's another gamble. But I could...
That's another Anaheim, right? Anaheim was just bad. Like, that's why he fell. Like, I'm more shocked, like, why, like, Brock Nelson's still available. Like, freaking Thomas Hurdles. No. Nick Schmaltz, Riley Smith in Pittsburgh. Kuznetsov in Washington. you know, Brock Besser, Blake Wheeler and the Rangers, you know, like these are all William Karlsson. There's some, I consider taking Bunting in, yeah, in Carolina just because I already had a couple of Carolina guys, but
yeah, man, I drafted Stuart Skinner. And I'm nervous about it now.
Ooh. Yeah, no, I thought, no joke, when I picked Levi, I was deciding between Levi.
So was I. And King. It was between Skinner and Levi. And I was favoring Levi. I was like, okay, I'm going to take him. And then you took him. And I was like, fuck. Now I got to take Skinner.
I made your decision for you.
Yeah, you did. And I don't appreciate it.
Well, so Buffalo can redeem, make it up for me. Which I never thought I would say, but it looks like they're finally ready to turn the corner. If Levi is the goalie that they project him to be, they should be a force to be reckoned with this year.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just so thrilled with my defense because they have so many blocks and so many points. Like Brent Burns is an absolute fantasy beauty. He shoots like, the puck really old so much. Too? Yeah, he's getting there, but he's playing on Carolina, a much better team than San Jose.
True. True.
So shall we do our buds or duds?
Sure. Are we doing buds or duds of the preseason?
We could do of the offseason, like for all teams.
Oh, it's like teams, buds or duds?
Yeah.
Ooh, I like it. Okay, are we doing duds first or buds first?
Let's do duds first, and I want to go first.
Okay, go for it.
Boston. I don't know how you're not the dud. I mean, you end up getting eliminated in the first round after having a historic winning season. Then you proceed to lose your captain to retirement and your best, arguably the best two-way forward in the game for the last 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then Krejci follows suit. So now your 1-2 punch just became a 3-4 punch. And Ullmark is definitely going to take a step back because it's just not sustainable to do what he did last year.
It's true.
If he does that again, then, you know, I'll eat my words here, but I'd put money on the fact that he takes a huge step back. Well, especially now that he doesn't have the defensive help of a Bergeron and a Krejci. So
they still Boston, got Marchand, they still passed tonight. So they're still going to be a really annoying team and dangerous team, but they're definitely not going to be as good.
Yeah. Well, that's it. And you lost a lot of the defensive side, right?
Yes.
And that's the biggest thing. That's the help for Ullmark. So that's why I stand by.
Fair enough.
He's going to take a huge step back. And I would honestly, I think you're right. I think they'll be battling it out for a playoff spot with Tampa. And I think even Detroit will fight.
I actually think it'll be Leafs, probably Ottawa, and then Florida.
Yeah, you think?
Great. Dude, I think Ottawa's going to be really good, dude. Like, they're a pretty scary team. Like, I had Tarasenko in there, too. Like, if they can stay healthy and, like, Korpisalo doesn't shit the bed, they're going to be good. All right. My dud of the offseason are the Jets. Because, like, what the fuck is that organization doing?
They don't
like,
know.
Nobody wants to be there. You have an aging goaltender who wants to be out and you didn't trade him. You have an aging star who wanted to be out that you wouldn't trade him. You let Blake Wheeler walk. You traded Laine for Dubois and now we're going to lose Dubois. Or already did because you traded him out. So, like, what is the direction of this team? Like, either tear it down and fucking build it back up again, or just, I don't know, they're just stuck in this, like, weird limbo and, like, Cheveldayoff just isn't doing anything. Like, and he hasn't done anything for, like, 3 years, and they've just been sitting in this fucking purgatory in the league for the last 3 years. Like, since they made that conference final run, like, I think it was a long time ago now, it seems. Like, when I feel like Dustin Byfuglien was still fucking playing. And they've just been on this, like, steady decline since. And everyone's like, oh, they're going to get better. They're going to get better. We had the Canadian division. It was like, oh, the Jets are competitive or whatever. And then, like, just nothing ever comes to fruition. You know what I mean? And now they're just kind of wasting the arguably Hall of Fame career of Connor Hellebuyck and they didn't trade him in the offseason, and it's going to be way harder to trade him in the in-season. So it's just like, I don't know what that team is doing. And so for that, they are a dud. Specifically, Kevin Cheveldayoff is the dud.
Man, you know, we could have picked so many different duds that I think we should be doing notable duds. Because I can already think of two more.
Okay, well, go for it.
Okay, so Columbus. Oh, holy Babcock.
Oh, fuck. I told you. Holy shit. Yeah, fuck.
Like, that was one of the biggest duds I've ever seen in my life.
Wow. Wow. I purged that from my brain. Yeah, Jesus. That was
So a huge dud there.
Yeah.
And I'll make another notable one in San Jose. You did not get even remotely close to the return you should have got for a player like Erik Karlsson.
Oh, they waited too long.
No, exactly. And then they like handcuffed themselves into making a shitty trade. And
like Dubas fleece thing.
Oh yeah.
As Dubas does.
Well, the biggest mistake San Jose made was come out and say, oh, well, we're not going to get a third team involved because, you know, when everybody who knows how salary caps work knows, and that contract works, knows a third team has to be involved. Otherwise, it's not going to happen.
His rookie GM status was showing.
Oh, big time.
What is that? Mike Greer, right? Like, sorry, man. That's not a good look, dude.
Not the best.
Not the best. Now, those are definitely two dud-worthy mentions.
Yeah, like, gotta be mentioned.
So we have our buds or duds and the dud-worthy mention.
Well, we have bud-worthy mentions, I guess, only if there's enough of them.
All right, so then who are your buds? Who's your bud team of the offseason?
That's a good question. There's a few different options. I mean, I feel like there's a cheat option, and I kind of want to say Chicago. Because you got Connor Bedard. Like, yeah, you're gonna suck this year, but
man, that kid is fucking good.
Oh. That kid is fucking good.
Just nasty.
Like that's a guy who's gonna take you places, and it sucks that he went to Chicago, who's had so much success already. And so their downtime is gonna be shorter than anticipated, which is a bummer, but. Yeah, I'd say that's a butt of an offseason landing, that beauty.
Yeah, you definitely hit the nail right in the head there. I would say the butt of the offseason is the New Jersey Devils, actually.
Okay, interesting.
Made the big move for Timo Meier and then got him in at a very reasonable contract considering his output, especially when you think about what a very comparable player, William Nylander, is asking for. And then to get him at that number for a long period of time. And then, like, you still have a lot of players who are coming into their own in that system. Like, if they can get the goaltending situation sorted, like, that's another team. It's like, if goalies work out, hell, that is a terrifying team. Like, if Akira Schmid is the real deal, or Vitek Vanacek actually turns it around, like, that's their one gap area for me. Like, obviously, Dougie Hamilton looks great at the back end there, and Siegenthaler is really solid as well. But, like, their forward line, like, Meyer, Hughes, Jesper Bratt, Nico Hischier, Andre Palat, Tyler Toffoli, Erik Haula, like, that's a really fucking good team. And to, like, solidify Timo Meier into that team with that contract, I think was a really, really shrewd move by the Devils.
Well, funny enough, they also picked up Thomas Nosek from Boston.
Yeah, they did.
So chipping away at the dud to feed the bud.
Perfect. Oh, and they have Luke Hughes too, who's a rookie now too.
Oh yeah, he looks like he could be a really good player. So
I mean, if he can be anything like his brothers, it'll be just fine.
No, exactly.
So yeah, those are my the Devils that look like a very, very good team again. So they would be my bud.
Can't argue with that. I mean, the Devils are getting scarier every year. And
Jack Hughes is taking a step into the top 10 of the league. Last year, like...
He had a ridiculous year.
Was his coming out party, man. Like, if that's the new him, if that's the regular Jack Hughes that we're seeing every year, geez. They're going to be a good team for a while. But that's what it's up to. You know, and season starts next week.
So excited.
And the role begins. I think the Leafs should win the division.
They should.
I was listening to Overdrive earlier, and they had an interesting question. It was one of the Jerry's percentages. And so I want to ask this Jerry percentage question to close out the episode.
Okay.
So the question was, what percentage would you give for one of the Leafs getting nominated for one of the major awards?
Just nominated?
Just nominated. So it has to be
for any of the major
The major ones. So not like the Bill Masterton fucking trophy or some shit, but like Lady Bing, not that Lady Bing either, but like, no.
Hart,
fucking self.
Vezina, Norris.
Norris, coach of the year, GM of the year.
Rocket,
all those big ones.
100%.
100%, nice.
100%.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. They some of them were a little high. I think O-Dog was high.
Just because there's always 99%. Well, because there's always
To be honest, like, we could have in a situation where both Matthews and Marner are nominated for the Selke if Matthews is killing penalties all season.
Like, yeah.
That was his only detractor, was he wasn't killing penalties. If he's killing penalties and probably going to score a bunch of fucking short-handed goals, because why the fuck wasn't he doing this the whole fucking time? Like, sorry, I needed to get on this point. I fucking hated Keith's reasoning for why he wasn't killing penalties. He's like, oh, he's one of the best 5-on-5 players in the league. Why would you take away one of his 5-on-5 ships to put him on 5-on-4? And it's like, because when you have 6 penalties in a fucking period, you don't have your best player sitting on the bench for fucking 10 minutes. Like, that's why you put him on the PK. So you fucking keep him in the game. And yeah, he can score goals. Like, literally, our whole childhood, one of my favorite freaking penalty killing lines is Matt Sundin and McGillney. Two hyper-offensive players who literally score short-handed goals constantly because they were so fucking good. Like, Matthews and Mars are going to be that this year, and I'm so fucking excited they finally did it.
Well, that's one thing I like about Keefe, is that he's never willing or never hesitant to change his mind on something.
Just took a long time.
Yeah, well, he's willing to experiment and try new things, and if something's not working, he'll change it. And, you know, he said, you know, why would I do that? And then he goes and does it. So
it's true.
It's nice.
I'm looking forward to it. It feels different this year. We don't have the weight of the first round losses anymore, which is a very different place to be in.
Yeah. I think I'm not used to this.
Yeah. So we're probably not internalizing it all because the second round loss still hurt. And obviously it was ugly, but we still got to fucking win. And so, like, entering this season, it's about growth. How can we now take another step? We won our first round. Now let's win a second round and a third and potentially a fourth. But we're all going to be saying it all season long. Go, Leafs, go.